this is not my favorite place right here. This is my favorite place where you're at. That's my favorite place. I want to tell you, most of you won't see this, but we see, David and I. We see you sing. We see you worship. We see you have come and you're involved, you're engaged. We see that. And I'll tell you what, that's inspiring. Inspiring to see there are people here that believe the Word of God. They believe it and they have come here for a reason. They come here as if I want an association with the Spirit of God. I want Him to talk to me. I've got needs that He only can satisfy. I'll come here so that maybe He can do that for us. So let's all pray right here that the Lord will look after us, and maybe there's something here for us that you can be edified by. I'm going to talk about, this is going to be found in page 775 of the Book of Mormon, Moroni 10:10. I'm going to do with two verses, 10:10 and 10:11. And what this is spiritual gifts. There's nine of them that I know of right here. I'm going to do nine. Spiritual gifts right here, and they're gifts by God. God's looking down from heaven above and looking down on the earth, and He's looking to see, I want to give some of you these gifts to make the body work. I want to give you something right here that you can help in the kingdom of God and what He's doing. And so we're going to look at those spiritual gifts, and a lot of this is things that you know. You read about it, you talked about it in Bible school, you've been in your Sunday school classes, you've in your own private reading right here, and you've gone through this. But we're going to go through this right here, and there may be something that God has got for you. And so the first one right here is wisdom. Well, I'm going to tell you a familiar story. It has to do with wisdom. I want to say this spiritual gifts right here is that God has got something to save your soul that is needed in the kingdom building. He has got something right here. And what I'm wanting to declare is that there is representative of these nine gifts right here. They're here. They're here in this body of believers. There's some of you who is going to have the gift of wisdom. You just do the right thing. You, like when I was growing up right here, I would do something. I've got ambition. I'm about ready to perform. And somebody that's wise right here, and I've had a whole wise people in my path, and they say, Randy, that I don't think would be very wise. I don't think that we should do that here today, Randy. Randy, that's not something that a Christian might be doing. And so there are several somebodies here who have got this gift of wisdom. They just, their head is on right. They're making the right decisions. They're doing the right thing. They're slowing this people like me down right here, and they're saying, well, let's just rethink this. And maybe there's a better way that we can do this. People with wisdom. And so in your Bible right here, there's a guy by the name, he's King, and he's David's son, and who might that be? Solomon. Okay, Solomon, and you know that, and you knew that from your Bible right here, that you know that Solomon was a guy that was known for wisdom. So Solomon had a predicament one day, and two women had a predicament one day. And these two women right here had babies, and they had babies on the third day of their babyhood. They got their babies. They're laying together. These women right here are in the same little house, I imagine. They're in some little house right here. And one woman's got her baby, and this is her little bed. This woman's got her baby, and this is her little bed. And they're sleeping on the third day. And on the third day right here, one of the women right here rolls over on her baby and kills him. Remember the story? Kills the baby right here. Well, she's thinking this over right here, and I can't imagine the travail. Your baby, you just laid on your baby. You smothered your baby. Your baby has died. It's your fault right here. Your baby's gone right here, and we can't call him back. I want a baby. And my girlfriend over here right here has got a baby, a cute little guy right here. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sneak in the dead of night at midnight. I'm going to sneak over there to her bed, and I'm going to take my dead baby. I wish he was alive right here, but I can't bring him back. He's dead. I'm going to take my dead baby right here, and I'm going to take her baby and put my dead baby in her arms right here and sneak back in my bed right here and act as if that's just the way it was. Come morning, mama with the live baby. looks at her baby to nurse that baby, and she notices the baby's not moving. My baby is dead. And she's looking at her baby over, and as much as a woman could do it, I don't think a man could do it right here, but a woman can do it. She's looking at a baby right here. That's not my baby. She has stolen my baby. Where's her baby? Well, he's my baby's in her arms. I'm going to take you to the judge. And so they march up to Solomon right here, sitting in the judgment seat. I imagine, I'm just adding that to there. So he's sitting in the judgment seat, and they come, and they express their grief. Just the story that I told you right here. She has got my baby. That's my baby. That's not her baby. That's my baby. Her baby's dead. Back and forth right here. How do you prove that? The only way to prove that is if you got something lick of wisdom in you. And Solomon was full of it. So he says what? He says, all right, bring me the live baby. Brings the live baby. Go get my sword. Bring the sword. Both women are looking. What's he got in mind? Take that sword and cut that baby in two. And we'll give you half a baby, and you'll give you the half a baby, and that result is right. No? No! Please, no! Don't kill my baby! Give her the live baby. I perceive and I know and I can understand that evil woman right here, she said right here, go ahead and cut him in two. You ain't the right mama. She's the right mama. She's got a heart that is just weeping with desire for her live baby. Take my live baby. You can raise him right here. Solomon says, cut him in two, and the truth come out. That was wisdom. What about the 31st chapter wise woman? Who's that? You remember her? There's a woman right here. She's known for her wisdom. Well, how is she known for wisdom? Well, people are looking at the woman that's known for her wisdom. And they're looking. They see through the crack in their bed right here, they're looking. Well, the woman's up. The woman is working. The woman is getting ready for the day. The woman is getting the clothes out for the children. She's doing the diapers. She's fixing breakfast. She's planning out for the rest of the day right here. She is one wise woman. Her husband is known in the gates. Wherever her husband goes right here, you're the husband of that woman. You got a wise woman. And she is wise because she is planning her day and she's fixing her day and everything yields itself to goodness and mercy. She is a wise woman. When Jesus was coming to planet Earth, he's just a little baby. He's coming. Well, there, 900 miles away, are three or four guys. We don't know how many there are. They call them wise men. Those wise men are going to leave Babylon, and they're going to go 900 miles by foot. They're going to get over there to where they know, somehow they know. They comprehend right here that there's a star. And we're going to follow that star right here. And we know that that's God has something to do with that star right here. We want to go with it. We want to be able to be there when that star lands there in Jerusalem. And so they travel 900 miles. They have all kind of travail they're going through. They're going through all that. But by wisdom right here, they're making all the right decisions. And probably the biggest right decision was, we are going to be led by God Almighty. Doesn't necessarily say that, but they're going to be following a star. We need to be following Jesus. We need to be making wise decisions. We have got a path that we're walking. Every one of us right here are walking a path. Some of us getting closer to the end than others right here, but are on that path. Are you making wise decisions? You girls right here, your boyfriends right here, are they good guys? Are they righteous men? You guys right here, the girl that you're looking for, oh boy, she's a hot gal right here. No, we don't care about how hot she is right here. Sorry I'm talking that way. But you want a woman right here that you can trust, a woman that you can love, a woman that's going to do you good all the rest of her days. She's going to take care of you. She's going to hold your hand. She's going to be looking after you right here. She is a godly woman. That's who you want. You want somebody that's wise. So the wise men, they come into Jerusalem, and they're, how do they know that? How do they know that star represents Jesus? How do they know that's a Christ child coming on his way? They come in, they land into town in Jerusalem 4 months later after traveling by camel. They come in town. As they come in town, they're confronted by the king. And the king says, when you find that child, when you find that star over wherever that child is, let me know. Tell me where he is so I can worship. Well, these guys are wise. These guys are wise right here. Says that's poison, that guy is. That king right here means only death to what our ambitions of wisdom tell us to do. We're going another way and avoiding that scenario. Well, they end up over Christ Jesus in where he's at. And he's in a little house now. He's probably 2 or 3 years old. And they got their gifts. What is your gift? What are you given to the Lord? What part of you have been yielded by sacrifice that's saying right here, I want to do the wise thing. And the wise thing is to serve the Lord. If I don't serve the Lord right here, I'm serving the world and I'm serving the devil and I'm serving failure. I'm going down quick. But if I'm wise, or I see wise people and I can see what they're doing, I see their attitudes and their desires right here, I want to be that way. I remember as a young person, I heard some of you say, well, you know, not bragging right here, but, you know, I read the Bible every morning. And I'm sitting back and said, really? You're reading the Bible every morning? Well, yeah. That's mundane. That's what I do. That's what I feel impelled to do. That wisdom of them associating themselves with the living Word of God lights on me or you. The benefit that we have of these spiritual gifts right here, there's a spiritual gift of wisdom that has been given right here that we may be benefited, that spiritual gift right here, God gives it right here so you can fight the good fight, that you can live and you can continue right here, and your legacy would be because you have served the Lord, you have been wise. There's a scripture here in Daniel, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Daniel has sinned. We don't tell us what the sin is right here. He admits it. He's confessing right here. I have sinned before God Almighty. I've sinned. And I'm praying to God right here that he'll forgive me of my sin. That's wise right there. When God comes talking to you and he's telling you, boys, don't do that. You need to make a wise decision, a godly decision. Do that. That's wisdom right here. And so here's Daniel right here, and he's praying to God for relief, for deliverance. As he's praying for deliverance right here, time goes by, that I understand. Time goes by right here, and his prayers are not answered. And we say, and I have said, I've been praying. I've been holding this up before God right here. Where are you, God? Where have you been right here? I need you right now. I'm about to go off the brink right here. Tell me what to do right here, and you're nowhere to be found. Daniel says, while he's saying that, the angel comes. Angel says, I want to tell you how it is. From the moment we heard your voice, I was sent. God sent when he heard your cry, when he heard your repentance, your desire to come clean. The angel is sent. The relief is sent. It's on its way. But it didn't get there for 21 days. It didn't get there because on the 21st day, right, on the first day of the 21st day right here, the angel that was sent right here had to fight the kings of the east of Persia. Read that. And he's fighting. So he's fighting the battle. He's got a battle right here that he's fighting. The angel can't come. I can't come as soon as you call right here. I was sent, but I was diverted right here to wipe the ground clean of this prince of Persia right here. He's an evil guy. I'm fighting him. I can't come until I've destroyed him or ruined him or put him aside. And now I am here, and I have arrived. And I've arrived, and I want to tell you right here, I'm going to tell you what God expects and wants of you. And justice has come. Wisdom. Don McAndoo, I was down in Mexico with Don McAndoo. Another guy right here that I don't know which end is up. And Don is right there saying, Randy, let's go this way, or let's not do that, or let's do something else. And finally, I could see, you know, that Don is making some pretty good decisions. And I asked him, I said, Don, how do you stay out of trouble? How do you avoid the catastrophe that most of us are running into? What's happening? What's cooking in your head? I'm trying to make the wisest decisions that I can make. I have avoided a whole lot of trouble by being wise. Good advice. Imagine yourself in the boat. Over yonder, you see a little speck walking your way. Who is that little speck? Jesus. You're in your boat, you're doing your daily living. I gotta catch X amount of fish right here and take it home to mama right here, and we're gonna sell the rest right here. That's how we got a living. That's how we do it right here. We're in our boat right here, we're cleaning our nets, and we're getting ready for tomorrow's day right here, and the dot gets bigger. And then Jesus shows up and says, what? Follow me. I believe those guys were wise. I believe those guys were wise right here. They obeyed the voice. I want to tell you right here that I know this to be a fact. Jesus is talking to you. Not just at the moment, I'm not implying that. But Jesus is talking to you. And if you're wise, you're going to heed what he says. Come and follow me. Don't go that way. Don't think that thought. Get off your little lethargy pad right here and come and follow me. That would be wise. Okay, that was wisdom. That's a gift that Jesus wants living and beating strong in this congregation. Some of you have been called to wisdom. Some of you have got that gift. I want to tell you right here, I ain't got it. But some of you have got it right here. I know of a few that I believe, and I say in my heart of hearts right here, that was wise. That was good. I'm not going to tell them though. but that's what happens right here. So those fishermen then followed Jesus. All right, now I'm going to go to the third or the second. So wisdom, and then there's this, the gift of knowledge. God has given some of us the gift of knowledge. I was when I was probably your age, maybe a little bit younger than you guys on this front row right here, we would hear by the announcements by the pastor, we would hear right here that Brother Archie Bell is going to preach. All right. It's the way we were. I'm sorry. Wasn't good. All right, come on. And what we were doing right here is that Archie Bell, for us guys right here, we never saw anybody that had the command of the Bible and the Book of Mormon like Brother Bell did. I never seen it, haven't seen it since. Brother Bell would have this, and he would say this, and we would come, and we're sitting naturally, don't recommend it right here, sitting on the back row, but we got our scriptures on our knees right here, and we are staring at Brother Bell. We are tuned in. We are watching him, and what's he going to do? And what we want to find out, we got our Bible and Book of Mormon, we're open right here. We want to see him mess up, because he's going to quote some scriptures right here, and we know that he can't do this consistently Sunday after Sunday right here. So we're ready for him. Got our scriptures. What scripture is it, Archie? Right here. Well, there's Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse. All right, bring it on. And we're looking and we're listening. And Archie Bell says, well, he says, ladies and gentlemen, I says, I've got a little scripture. I think it's probably found in Ezekiel. And it goes something like this. He did it again. Didn't miss a word. Didn't miss a period. He had it. Impressed us. But he had the gift of knowledge. Dave Maley, are you here? Dave, I'm going to tell a story on you. I don't think you'd be embarrassed. I went to college with that guy. One day, down there in Warrensburg, I went to college in Warrensburg. I'm running late. I was doing something, I can't even remember what it was right here, but I was running late, and I come home late. Dave, my room chum right here, was already in bed. I don't know if you remember this, it'd be pretty neat if you can remember, Dave. And he's in bed sleeping. And I come in with my little flashlight, and I'm trying to sneak on by him. I don't want to disturb him, I don't want to wake him up right here. And I go by him, I kind of glint my little flashlight in his direction, and I don't know if you can see me do this right here, but this is what Dave was doing. He's going like this. And I said, "Dave, what are you doing?" Well, I'm working on a calculus problem. You got knowledge, buddy. And there's a lot of things that I'm asking. If I don't know right here, there's some people that I go to, and he's one of them right here. "Dave, what do you think about this? The gift of knowledge, we got to have it. The body has got to have it. If we don't have it, we are deficit. We are missing out. But I believe here somewhere there's people who are studying like Harvey Seibel. Harvey Seibel at 19 made the commitment, I'm going to know every word of the scriptures. And he began that odyssey, and he arrived, and he did it. Okay. Another spiritual gift is great faith. You know the story. It's touching. It touches me. It has to do with great faith. This is something we need. This is something that needs to be in our congregation. There was in the Bible, there was a woman who had great faith. Is that moving anything in your heads? This woman had great faith. This woman right here has got a disease, an issue of blood, whatever that means. Jesus comes into town, and Jesus is thronged. He's packed. You can't get closer to the multitude did with Jesus that day. He is jammed tight right here. He can't hardly, I'm not making any issues about right here. I'm just trying to make the point right here that he is thronged and he can't hardly move. And he's got his robe or whatever they call that thing. And through the crowd right here, this woman that's got this disease is thinking. And what is she thinking? I can just touch. Nobody got to know. Nobody has to know I did it. If I could just touch just the bottom dirt-soiled hem of his garment right here, if I can just touch it, I know I'll be healed. And she touched it. Jesus said, "What? Who touched me?" Who touched you? Hundreds of people are thronging and rubbing their bodies against your body and your robe against robe right here, and you're saying, "Who touched you?" Somebody touched me. And I hope that we touch Jesus. I hope this little gift right here, a spiritual gift that he's given right here, that we touched Jesus. The woman touched him. Noah is a guy that I studied about just a little bit. And Noah in the 15th chapter, I'm sorry, in the fifth chapter of Genesis, Noah was told by his daddy in the Word of God right here that he will comfort our hearts because of the destitution of our lives. Noah, my son Noah, will do this. Well, that's who Noah was. Noah's a guy that walks around and he touches people. "How you doing? How was it?" I got touched. today. Somebody touched me. It feels good. And it's right. So here's Noah. My understanding of Noah right here is that Noah has never seen it rain. However, Noah had it right here. The water come up through the seeps from the ground. I guess that's the way they got water. Got to have water. Noah is told by God, Noah, you have found grace in the sight of the Lord. You found it. And I'm going to show you grace right here. And these people that you've been touching all through your however many hundreds of years you've lived right here, you've been touching right here, and there's been rare response. But you have found grace in the sight of the Lord. So Noah, what I want you to do, God tells him, he says, I'm going to rub out mankind. I'm bringing wrath against this world. This waxed wicked. That wrath has come up right here. I want you to build a boat. Now, this is my understanding. He's never seen a boat in his life. This, I think. He's never seen a boat right here, but he's told by God, I want you to build a boat with these dimensions. Okay? He's doing the right thing. He's listening to God. It's going to rain. Well, what's rain? Well, rain is this water that you see in a puddle right here. This rain is going to come from heaven right here, okay? I want you to build a boat right here that's going to shut out that rain, and you're going to float and you're going to sail. Noah was a man of great faith. He didn't ask, but. He didn't say right here, how can that be done? I'm one guy right here. There's six of us in the family, or eight, or however many right here. I don't know how it's going to be done right here. I don't think we can do it. Didn't enter his mind. We will do it. Why? Because God says it's so, and it will come to pass. The next little spiritual gift is the gift of healing. This is a testimony that some of you have heard before right here, but it sticks in me. I'm in my father's house, my mother's house, with Uncle Skeet, couple of ministers right here. I don't think Brother Bell was there. Brother Housenick. Three or four ministry was there and I was there. Ronnie, I don't know if you were there or not. You weren't there. So we're sitting in the couch and we're just talking boy talk. We're just chatting, having fun. My mother comes in the door. It's a glass door. My mother comes in and she's holding a sack of groceries like this. The other arm, she's taking care of a little boy right here, about 2 years old right here, in this arm. She comes in, and she kicks the door open with her hip. She shatters the door. The glass door came down like a knife and cut her in the thigh, opened her up. She's bleeding like a stuck dog right there in front of us. And what did we do? Go to the hospital. Get her doctor right here. Sew her up. She's going to bleed to death. No. No. You're going to pray for me. And they did. 2 weeks later, I passed my mom at our house and I said, Mom, can I see where the glass cut you open? God did a miracle because of exceeding faith. We can have that. It's our destiny. God wants to give us this special gift right here. It's here. Someone's got it. May God inspire that person, whoever they may be, to use this great gift as he's got for his children. Brother Housenick told me the story when I was about your age. He says, I knew a woman who had arthritis. And this is all that she could open her hand. Can't open it any further. And they prayed for her, and this is what he said. And I watched that hand. It opened up. And there was that gift that God gave us, and those of us who are watching. Powerful, good stuff. The disciples, the apostles, went to the church in the Bible. They went to church. They're going to church, and as they get to church right here, there's a young man who's never walked. Young man who never took a step in his life. Been brought there every Sunday or every Sabbath day. Brought there right here by his parents, the people that love him. Sitting down at the doors of the church right here. And why are they setting him down there? Because there are good folks that come by and said, well, he's got a tin cup. Here, son, take my quarter, take my couple of dimes. And so that was his expectation. I sit there, people fill up my cup right here, and I can eat. I can live. Peter comes up to him. Young man, look at me. Young man looked at him and said, well, he's going to give me some money. Silver and gold have I not. What? What? Such as I give you, I give in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. You saw that. They saw that. They saw this man that we went to Sabbath every Saturday for 20 years right here. That young man came, ever was there, his loved ones laid him down there. He's never walked. We never seen him walk right here. He's now 20 or 30 years old right here. And Peter comes in and says, such as I have, I give unto thee, rise and walk. He stands and he leaps and he's walking. It's because that gift is here. That gift needs to be here. That gift may be resident, hadn't appeared yet right here, but maybe it's on its way. God wants to give it to us, wants to give it to you, that we have this. And we don't have to be just imperiled constantly, but God hears his children and gives these spiritual gifts to those that are believers. Another gift right here is miracles. It's in your Book of Mormon. We're reading it right here. It's 10th chapter, 10th verse, 11th verse. And so in this account right here, I'm going to remind you of what happened in the Bible. Great miracles. Paul, Hubert Yates has not got a thing on Paul. Paul can talk all day, all night, and be happy to continue the next morning. And that's what he was doing. He's got a three-story building that he's preaching in. I don't know if he's in it or if he's outside of it. He's talking to the folks right here. They're packed in this church right here. But Paul is carrying forth. I'm not letting up. The Spirit tells me keep on talking. There's some souls here that needs a little bit more right here. I'm going to keep talking. God has got a message. He's trying to do something right here in this congregation. And he's talking and talking and talking. Well, up on the third floor, you know the story. Up on the third floor right here is one of you guys. And you're leaning kind of out the window. And your eyelids get just a little heavy. And you fall asleep. That's what happened. He fell asleep and he fell out of the third story to the ground and was killed. We're talking about miracles. We're talking about might. That has not disappeared and is still in our midst, and we can have it. We believe it. He's got these gifts. He wants to give us these gifts. He wants his children to look with awe. I can't believe that he did that. That was wonderful. That was great. I will worship you, Jesus. And Paul laid on him and he revived. He says, okay. Pick him up and take him home right here. He's okay. Great gifts. of meeting having miracles. I got another issue, another example of great gifts. This Philip was a man who was engaged with the Spirit of God. His duty was what God said right here, and he was out to try to do it. And so Philip right here is on his way, and he's heading somewhere, and the voice of God come to him and said, I want you to go down by what is that little town right here? What is it? Anyway, there's this little town right here that he's going down to. He says, go down there, and I'll tell you what you're going to befall you when you get there. See, Jesus doesn't have to tell you every detail. Tell me, Jesus, why, you know, what am I going to run into, and how hard is it, and what's it going to cost, and what's the issues right here? I ain't telling you that right here. You just obey what I'm saying. And so he goes down there. Well, he runs into who? Who said that? He runs into this Ethiopian guy who's the keeper of the money. And he's reading a book. What book's he reading? That's right. And so he's reading this, and he's reading about Jesus right here, and he asks this Philip right here, he says, who is that talking about? And he said, well, he says, read it right here and we'll discuss it. It's talking about Jesus, his death, the resurrection. He's getting close. God found a man who was ready to be baptized. Philip didn't exactly know all the details, but it dawned on him right here, I'm supposed to be here. I was sent here by miraculous delivery. I'm here, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And so he got in the chariot and talked to him about Jesus. What is the next reaction? It ought to be somebody considering baptism. They ought to think the same way. What was his thought? Is this a call for me to be baptized? Why couldn't I be baptized right here? Philip says, we can do it. God's waiting. He sent me down here by miracles, sent me down here. He baptized him, and then what happened to Philip? Philip was taken away. A miracle. Unbelievable. The things that we read in this book, some guy couldn't write a story better than what we read in the scriptures. I asked Danny Hedrick if he'd be offended right here, and his wife. Danny, did you die twice, Danny? Danny died twice. He was revived twice. That is a miracle. They took him to the hospital. He was in the hospital. I think it's the hospital out here on 39th Street. Is that it? He's in the hospital right here. I'm there with Diane. The nurse comes in. The nurse knows health, knows issues, knows heart attacks, and knows everything about what's cooking here. She says to Diane, I'm standing there. Diane, you tell me if I'm lying. The nurse comes in and says, I'm going to tell you, Mrs. Hedrick, your husband right here has befallen a terrible risk. He may not make it, but we're doing it the best we can do. Danny is laying there. Danny, you can't remember this, but you were in an ice jacket. Is that right, Diane? He's in an ice jacket right here, and the only thing moving was his eyebrows, kind of going up and down just a little bit, but he's frozen. This nurse is saying, you need to be ready for this. Diane, you need to be ready. We're doing the best we can right here, and it may not be successful, but get ready. Diane says, you can just stop that right now. I've got friends who are praying. There's worship going up right now, and they've carried Danny up into heaven right here with their prayers right here, and he's going to be all right. Thanks for coming. The next spiritual gift is prophecy. Did somebody say they couldn't hear that? Prophecy. And so Jesus wants prophecy to be cooking in the Church of Christ. He wants that to happen. That's my love letter. That's my communication. That's telling my children, you're not going through this alone right here. You're not totally a victim right here. I'm going to give you some upfront advice. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then I'll tell you what you need to do after that. And so in this 2 Kings 19th chapter, in that account right here, I think it's Ahasuerus, the king. He's a wicked king. He's coming against Jerusalem. He's coming against Jerusalem, and he's got an emissary. The emissary comes before the armies of Babylon come in. And this guy comes in and says, well, I need to tell you right here that we're going to wipe you guys clean. We're going to destroy you to a man. We're going to rub you out. We're going to rub out Jerusalem right here. We're taking over this city. You haven't got a chance. We'll give you all the horses you need if you put men on enough to ride the horses. We're coming to get you right here. You best give up right now because we are going to gain the victory and it's going to be easy. The word of God came to Jerusalem. The word of God says, there's not going to be one arrow that's going to land in the confines of Jerusalem. There's not going to be one person killed. There's not going to be anything disaster right here. That gathering army right here is going to be destroyed. The king is going to go back. He's going to go back and sit on his throne right here, and his sons are going to kill him. Mark my word. That was prophecy. The second chapter of Nephi and Ether right here, in my opinion right here, talks pretty clearly about the end result of America. That end result of America for the righteous is going to be pretty good. The righteous are going to be taken care of. The righteous are going to be remembered. The righteous are going to be under the hand of Almighty God. The wicked, though, the prophecy is, America's not going to make it as you see it. That is something that we need to get ready for. You need to be ready for the coming king. I tell people downstairs right here, I tell them right here that they're on the fourth chapter of Isaiah, that after the Lord sweeps away the filth of the daughters of Zion, the Bible says in the fourth chapter, I will have a tabernacle against the wind and the rain and the storm. God has provided a means somehow. I'm not going to try to tell you how this is all going to turn out, but the prophecy is right here. America is going down for the wicked, but it's going to be okay, and the righteous are going to be delivered. That's prophecy. Something right here that we need to have in our little Church of Christ. The next one right here is beholding of angels. This is not a brag. I'm going to tell you a little story right here. This is not a brag, but it means something in my heart. We're down in Mexico with my wife and my family. We're down in Mexico, and my wife and family said, we want some Kentucky Fried Chicken. I said, we've got a meeting here in about an hour right here, and we've got to be going to this. We want fried chicken. All right, I'll get fried chicken. So I get in a rental car right here, and I take off. And I'm looking for a chicken joint. And there is no chicken joint. At least I can't find it. So I'm watching my watch right here. So I ain't got that much time right here. I best be finding some chicken fast. So I'm putting the pedal to the metal. I come to a corner right here, and there's somebody standing there. Say, hey, where's the chicken place? They go like this. Get out of here. I took off, went down to the next joint. Went to the next joint right here. I said, hey, where, ¿dónde está el pollo? Un lugar de pollo. I'm running fast. I'm governed by time. I'm roaring down a giant wide street. There's no traffic in it, and there's no people in it. I had no idea how to get back. I'm sorry about the biggest detail. I'm lost. So I'm roaring down this wide, gigantic street. I'm just roaring. I'm dangerously fast. There, standing, in the middle of the road, is a Mayan Indian. Standing there, just like that. I roar up to him, put the brakes on right here, and says, "Donde está el lugar de zoológico?" The zoo.
The hotel.
And the hotel room is next to the zoo, so if I can find a zoo, I can find my hotel. He goes like this. "Señor, drive," in English. He got in the car right here. He says, "Go this way, and by the way, there are many innocent people in this town. You need to be cautious and wise and careful." Turn here. I turn here. Turn there. I turn there. After several turns right here, I'm thinking, I hope this is legitimate. One more turn, and there's the zoo. I said, "Thank you. Thank you. Can I take you someplace?" "No." He gets out of the car, goes to the intersection, a boulevard. He goes in the middle of a four-lane boulevard. He stands there just like I saw him. And I went to my hotel and I got my family. God has given us, and I'm not implying a thing, but I want it, beholding of angels. Got them. I think, didn't he have some deal where he saw some angel? It probably happened more often than we would think. The next one right here, the next spiritual gift is all kind of tongues. Can you imagine? And it happened in Pentecost. Can you imagine right here that you're alive and well and on the day of Pentecost, you're there, and every known nationality of that part of the world right here is there in Jerusalem, all yakety-yakety and talking in their tongue. And you know what they're saying. Can you imagine our apostles, they come together. We need to decide where we're going to go. Well, why don't we go to Timbuktu? Well, Timbuktu right here is way in the middle of Africa. And we don't know the language right here. We will know the language. We will speak the language if that gift is given to us, the gift of tongues. Almost done. This last one right here is interpretation of tongues. Frank Fan, Michelle, you tell me if I'm telling this true. He's over in the Philippines. He's in the Philippines and some gal is talking. I think it's some gal. And he knows exactly what she's saying. The interpretation of tongues. My niece, I've got a thought here before. I forgot to say this, and I want to say this now. This is a sideline issue right here. We've got a little cabin down the Ozarks. How long ago was it, Becky? 2 months?
March.
Forest fire is coming down the road and going to engulf our little cabin. We've got cousins there at the cabin, and they were called. They were met by the force ranger and the police, fire department right here, come walking to our cabin down our long road right here and says, "You need to get out of here now. The fire is coming, it's roaring your way. It's gonna burn you down. You need to put water at the base of your little house right here and get out of Dodge, get out of there now." Becky sent out the word to our children. Pray for the cabin, pray for the safety of the people that are there. and one of my little families had a circle of prayer, look out for them. And my grandson said, make it rain, put out the fire. And the people that were there, our cousins, said, we were leaving, we were on our way to get out of here for safety right here. It started raining. A half hour later, a gentle rain come in and the fire was subdued. Great faith. Now my last interpretation of tongues right here, about Frank. Frank knew that, read that, understood that. I was, can I say this? This is my experience. I went with Placido, young Placido, down in New Mexico. And we're in Mexico right here, and we're going to go to a little town that knows not Spanish. Doesn't know Spanish, and they certainly don't know English. And we're going to go down there, and we're going to preach to them. I know nothing of Mayan. I know nothing of, at the time, I didn't know hardly anything of Spanish. But we're going. So we went there, and there was a congregation of people gathered together. And they're all anticipating what I'm going to say, which is nothing, because I can't speak the language. Placido comes up to me and says, Randy, he says, here's what we got to do. These people do not know Spanish. They only know Mayan. So what I suggest you do is I'm going to sit in the congregation right here. You give the talk in English. You give that talk in English right here, and I will tell the congregation right here what you're saying in Mayan. Sounds great to me. That's what we'll do. And so I'm talking. As I'm talking, he's talking to people. My way of saying conversation. And it was over with in a half hour, 45 minutes. And we got together and we're saying goodbye and so forth. And he said, Randy, he said, did you catch what was going on? No, I don't have a clue. As you were talking, this woman that I'm sitting next to is talking to me. And she's telling me what you're saying in English. She's telling me in Mayan what you said. Interpretation of tongues. We had this happen. My little niece had been taught right the Word of God. And if you have speaking in tongues, what must you have? Somebody volunteer. What? Interpretation. Well, as it turns out, this, my niece right here, heard speaking in tongues. And she waited. And what is she waiting for? She's waiting for the interpretation. And it did not happen. And she said, my Grammy told me that's a side issue, you grandparents. My Grammy told me that don't believe it, speaking in tongues unless there's an interpretation. Good advice. Take it. Let that gift be ripping and roaring in your lives. I'm done right here. There on verse 14 of that Moroni 10 right here says this, these gifts will never be done away with except for unbelief. We don't want that to be, we don't want to extinguish the gifts that God wants to put in your path. He wants you to discover what your gift is and use that gift for the glory of God. God bless you.